Hello everyone, Lord Baldrith here with Echoes from the Caverns, newscast dated March 17th, 2017. Echoes from the Caverns is distributed by Sir Style Teakle and is a joint podcast project created and ran by Lord Baldrith and Asclepius. Background music is by Stephen J. Goldman. Well, here we are again, alone. I'm just kind of taking it solo while Asclepius is on vacation, so hope he's having fun and doing great. And by the way, happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. It happens to be today, so that's a good thing. Some good parties going on in the game, too. I was seeing a few of those, so that's pretty fun. So good stuff there. So as far as in-game goes right now, today I've been kind of focusing myself a little bit on some agriculture, gardening. Just trying to get a little bit of a feel for how long it takes before I need to water things and all that kind of stuff. So I've kind of been focusing on that a little bit, along with some gathering of the water. You know, if you really think about it, when you go to buy 400 waters over at the vendor, it costs you somewhere around 1,600 gold. And I was thinking, you know, I could save myself a lot of money if I gathered 400 waters. But it does take a long amount of time. But for those of us that are a little more money conscious and maybe are running low on money at times, it's definitely a good option. I just can't wait for the day when we can gather a little faster. And hopefully that is coming sometime soon. Along with more agriculture improvements for the little bit of clicking involved. It's the biggest trouble when you're actually putting the plant into the bed. That takes quite a bit of work. Especially when you've got multiple greenhouses worth of planting to do. But it's fun. I do it mostly for my own cooking needs. So it's good stuff. All right, well, let's get on with the news here. We have update of the Avatar number 219. We have the making of Kaz Ruins, the spring telethon recording, decorations flash sale, World Water Day, and more. All right, so let's start out here with the making of Kaz Ruins. Now, here we go. The Kaz Ruins are one of the six ruined cities found in Novia that date back to the period in Novian history in which the Obsidian Order rose to power. As described in the Sword of Midras prequel novel by Tracy Hickman and Richard Garriott, the exact history of some of these cities has been lost to time, but it is rumored that some of them may have been abandoned even before the rise of the Obsidians. Kaz is the site of the ruins of an ancient paladin fort high atop a mountainside. At the foot of the mountain is an abandoned village with a small graveyard. The entire area has become overrun by the undead. Kaz started as a clone of the Opalis Ruins, but is getting completely rebuilt this release to have a unique layout and visuals. Like all of the other ruins and shardfalls, this is an open PvP area, so we are expressly focusing on being sure the map has interesting setups for PvP conflict, with plenty of space for hiding, escaping, ambushing, and skirmishing. Our goal is to have Kaz Ruins go live in release 41 or 42. So that sounds like that'll be fun and dangerous for all that are really, really ready for some one-on-one combat or multiple on-one combat, depending on what happens there. So, very nice pictures indeed. Very mountainous, so definitely a lot of places to get some high vantage points and stuff. You want to pick off people before they see you. That's pretty fun. All right, so from a dev post by Esteban Sorcerer Steve Zalzavar. Hey guys, Sorcerer Steve here to give you a peek at my latest work in progress, the Kaz Ruins. The Kaz Ruins are located in North Palatus, along the Tears River, set against jagged mountains. It is on one of these peaks where the ruins of ancient Paladin Fort lie. I obtained a lot of inspiration for our backdrop from the Grand Tetons and Rocky Mountains of the American West. So obviously those areas are beautiful. If you've ever been to them, I was actually born in that sort of area with the Rocky Mountains. So yeah, I can see a beautiful look there with that mountain, nice mountainy and forest areas in front of it, so that's gorgeous. And he continues, a paladin fort can be seen nestled on the mountain. What secrets do these abandoned ruins hold? And that's the question. Always fun to find secrets in the game, and they've been putting more and more of them in here for us, giving us all the more reason to just run around and explore, if nothing else, aside from gathering and fighting and finding quests to do. And continuing, the way up to the Paladin Fort is littered with traps utilized by the defenders in times of war. So there you go, we got traps as well to explore here, so that'll be fun. And you can see in the picture here, it's just unbelievable. Serious fire trap. I don't think anybody can get through that trap without getting killed, so there's probably got to be a way to disarm that or somehow or another get around it. But yeah, that looks like you get pretty burnt, even with your douse and all those things on, I would guess. So down below, signs of ruined settlements. So once you get through that or over there, looks like we've got some buildings and some foliage that's kind of overrunning the buildings. So yeah, that's pretty cool. A trap has gone off, setting a cliffside up in flames. And so yeah, here's a view of a big fire trap from below. So I'd be curious how that trap was set off. Part of the goal may be not stepping in the wrong place or not pushing the wrong lever or not doing something. We will have to see how that works. Stay tuned for more on the Kaz Ruins. Esteban Zalzivar, level designer. So good stuff there. Awesome work as always. All right, so next up we have NPC submissions requests for Harvest. So Harvest is another new city. They're adding some custom NPCs from our players here. Let's see, for Developer Plus pledge holders who have the pledge reward to create NPCs, please see this forum post by Scott Lum Jennings. So thank you for your continuing support of Shroud of the Avatar. This month, in addition to Esgard, we're seeking entries for the inhabitants of the village of Harvest. Harvest is the port entry to the kingdom of Norgard, on the mainland side of the channel. It is primarily a farming community, but sees a good bit of traffic between the Knights of Norgard Bastion of Resolute and Norgard proper. If you do not want your backer NPC to be in Harvest, you may want to wait. I will update this thread if we are running low on submissions. Generally, we are okay on duplicate submissions for characters who don't get adopted, such as guards. But if you absolutely have a character who should be in a given city, such as Brittany, you should wait until we advertise for that city. So that's good to know if you're still holding off on putting your NPC somewhere. Definitely worth the wait if you want to be in a certain city. Alright, first some brief notes. Harvest is one of our uncloning scenes, where we go back post-final wipe and fill out unique content for each village and city. Thus, the NPCs are already in the game, but we can change appearance to a degree as seen below. Gender, etc. to suit your request. If you want to pick a specific NPC, for example, one near your house, we will do our best to accommodate you, but may not be able to. Note that this process is just to make Harvest NPCs different. Harvest already has had a physical uncloning pass, and its layout is basically final for release. We are backfilling NPCs that should have backstories at this point. NPC visual customization, as you may have noticed, is still at a very early stage in development. Right now, for the backers who want to be added Harvest, we cannot offer any visual customization options beyond our standard gallery of NPC models. If you would like to have input over the visual customization of your NPC, you can wait for further releases when we can offer this. We will also allow a one-time visual recustomization once customization has been added if you would like to add your NPC now. We have no ETA on when this will be available. So this is all good news as far as I'm concerned, because once we get this customization available on these NPCs, I would guess that we will also have it available on our NPCs in our collection, you know, like the vendors are the thing that come to my mind because they're all that same guy. So it'd be great to make them look different. All right, so response to this will be on a first-come, first-served basis for each call for responses. If your NPC doesn't appear in Harvest, feel free to respond again in future posts. We have quite a few towns and cities to populate. We are allowing people who have already submitted NPCs to submit their ideas for Harvest as well, if they like. But people who have not yet submitted an NPC will take priority over those who have. When responding, please list a first and second choice for the profession. NPCs for Harvest must be human. No kobolds, please. So, and then we talked about this last week. I remember going through this list. So they want five guards, an innkeeper, a waiter, waitress, crafting merchant, fishing merchant, cooking merchant, blacksmith, decoration merchant, housing deeds merchant, magical supplies merchant, a Norgard Viking crown merchant, a crafting trainer, a combat trainer, and a public vendor, a banker, and a town crier. So those are the things they're looking for. If you'd like to have your namesake be a resident of Harvest, please respond via private message on this forum to me, Lum, using the following format: NPC name, NPC gender, NPC profession first choice, NPC profession second choice, and NPC background optional. So you can talk about your NPC, and they have the right to reject any lore that you write if it doesn't fit the story. So just make sure you don't get too specific, I would guess they're trying to say. Just make it general lore. So that'll be fun to get some people to talk to that people have created in-game. That's always fun. So it makes the game a little more vast, a little more deep, all those kind of things. So please specify in your submission that this NPC is for Harvest. We will respond if your NPC is used, and if it is rejected for whatever reason, such as an inappropriate name, if supplied a background that is inappropriate, or if your NPC missed the cutoff for this release. So they'll let you know in all those cases. Thanks for your support, and see you in Harvest. So another great opportunity to get your NPC in the game. So if nothing else, you can just throw out a name that you've been wanting to see, you know, that from maybe from your past or something, like, oh, this is a cool name and I've never seen it anywhere. You can throw it in the game. Now, that's good stuff, real good stuff. So looking forward to seeing all the different ideas. All right, so continuing on, we have the Spring Telethon 2017 updates. Missed questions answered. Rewards update YouTube upload. Look at all that. So this is great news, and this was a great post by Darkstar. So missed questions answered. For this year's Spring Telethon, we had the assistance from our community in gathering questions from live chat on Twitch and Discord. This resulted in a record number of questions assembled, a full 20-plus pages of them. Darkstar Long spent the week gathering answers to those questions in between SXSW duties, running the project, etc. He posted them to the forums here, and there's a link to that area where they are posted. It should probably be pretty easy to find. There were questions about all topics, including housing, combat, and even the obsidian septagram of Dominion. So it looks like we've got some information here to, with a nice little picture here if you want to look at the updates on that. The obsidian septagram of Dominion maintained aspects of rulership to secure power and obedience. Now, this is a little star-like figure that has some labels. I'll put it that way. We've got strategic, persistent, fierce, tactical, endeavorous, renowned, and desirous. The septagram of Dominion, whose 7 points correspond to the 7 lords of the Sorceress Cabal and their thrones in the epitaph, also represents the provocative aspects of rulership required to obtain power and command obedience, which are the core tenets of the Obsidian Order. At the center of this symbol, the culminating energies of illumination and vigilance supposedly manifest within the former ruler of the Order, who was called the Obsidian Eye. A ruling body must be strategic, thus having a firm understanding of an overall plan of success. Tactical, thus understanding what must be done in a particular moment. Desirous, thus yearning for greater glories and grander achievements. Fierce, thus inspiring respect and fear among allies and enemies alike. Renowned, thus having forged a name and reputation from these traits. Persistent, thus reinforcing and maintaining renown with consistent acts, and endeavorous, thus striving to perform monumental tasks of worth. So very cool stuff there. If you didn't see all the questions and answers, definitely worth a look. Lots of good information there and fun to read. All right, so next up we have a rewards update. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So if you spent $5 or more during the telethon, your rewards should now be listed on your account page under the Special Rewards tab. If they are not there, and you believe they should be, please contact support at portalarium.com. And speaking of the rewards, Fletcher Skullmuncher Kinnear has been busy working on the vile weapons for the Obsidian Cabalus, but he took a few minutes to put the final touches on the leaf shield, which you can see below. So once again, on the update page, there's some great pictures here. This is the shield he was working on during the telethon, and it was really coming alive, and it's just gorgeous. Totally gorgeous. So anybody, especially people that use a shield, are going to really love to equip this and just look so stunning. This is just totally awesome. It's very greeny and perfect for today. If you wear that to the, if we had it, we could wear that to the St. Patrick's Day event and avoid getting pinched. But we'll have to wait till next year on that one. So that'd be cool. So here, next up, we have the YouTube upload as well. Finally, this week, we have gotten the telethon updated to YouTube, for those of you miss seeing it live or do not wish to view it on Twitch. So, good. So, it's available on YouTube now, which is good news for a lot of us that kind of want to show it off, you know, to people. If we're trying to get people interested in the game, it's a good thing to let people watch, find some areas that'll interest them. So, yeah, it's a great telethon, great stuff, and fun to watch. All right, so there we go. Good news there. Oh, real good news. I'm really looking forward to those rewards from the telethon. There were some really cool ones, especially the majory type of things. You don't see those often enough for my taste, so that's good. Good for me. Good for everyone. All right, next up, we've got the R39 Decorations Flash Sale. All right, so if you've looked at the add-on store page as of late, they've added this fancy little banner saying, Decorations Flash Sale, 20% off all weekend. So this is great news if you're looking for some new decorations for your house or just some additional decorations. In release 39, we added over 50 new decorations to the add-on store, including tabletop versions of trees and statues, Greco-Roman statuary, epic trees, and a Shogun castle wall set. To celebrate this incredible array of decorations, we are putting them all on sale this weekend for 20% off. So this is a great opportunity to buy these new things. Here is a complete list of the decorations we added in R39 that you will find on sale this weekend. So there's it's a good sized list of tabletop creature statue pack, the tabletop bear statue, the tabletop satyr statue, elemental, kobold, zombie, golem, lich, titan of courage, titan of love, titan of truth, the ancient wall sculpture set, the ancients set, and the Corinthian column set, the iconic column set, the noble set, the reclining statue set, smaller ancient set, the carved decoration fountain, the giant horse statue, the horse statue, tan marble bench, ancient vase three pack, the Sphinx bookend statues, the ornate post and rope water fence set, the ornate water platform, the cobblestone walkway pavers, the epic common linden tree, the epic yellow cedar tree, the epic common aspen tree, the epic fountain palm tree, the epic blue spruce tree, juniper tree, juniper tabiatry tree, the epic dead tree, the webbed dead tree, the bamboo tree, and the epic puzzle tree, the autism awareness charity there. The tabletop tree pack, the tabletop azalea bush three pack, and the dead tree three pack, the yellow cedar three pack, white oak tree three pack, the saguaro multi-branch cactus three pack, and broken branch cactuses, junipers, and then more tabletop, the fountain palm trees, linden trees, aspen trees, spruce trees, elder bush, and bamboo tree, and the puzzle three pack. Also, the Autism Awareness Charity. Remember, those things, I believe, give 10% to that charity. So those are good investments as well. So that's good stuff. All right. So good news there. Anybody that is looking forward to some more deco, especially at lower prices, good time to do it. And just a little FYI, I did do a little shopping today. I was trying to see where these crown vendors are. So I was quite having a lot of fun traveling around, and I was able to find some places to shop. Adoris is the place I found in the upstairs of the bank, so that was good stuff. All right, so let's see. We got next the World Water Day Make a Difference sale. Empower a woman with water, and she can change her world. And that's water.org here. This is our charity that when you buy things, they do donate to charity. So this is cool stuff. So let's see here. So it says, March 22nd is World Water Day, and through our partnership with water.org, we are helping promote this day by discounting all of our water.org Make a Difference items by 20% from now until March 22nd. As a reminder, Poor Larian will donate 50%, okay, this is 50%, that's great, of its share of the purchase price of these items to water.org on a biannual basis. To learn more about World Water Day, and how you can help, please visit the water.org website. Here is a complete list of the water.org Make a Difference items that you will find on sale starting today through March 22nd. There's not a whole lot of items. We've got the ornate outhouse, and we have the wishing well, the water magic cloak, the rain emote, and the water package. So they're all, pretty much all of the stuff that you can buy for the water charity is on sale. So a good opportunity to get those things, all great stuff. So take a look if you're looking for those things. So that's good news for everybody trying to buy decorations at a reduced price. Here it is. That's good stuff. All right. So next up, we got the R39 offline data format change character preservation notice. Here we go. We've been talking about this the last few weeks. Greetings, avatars. Just like in release 38, during release 39, the offline mode save game format is changing to support new and upcoming gameplay features. Here's what you need to do in order to preserve your offline mode save game characters. Patch your game to release 39, load each saved game, and then resave. This will convert your save file to the latest format. If you do not convert your save games during release 39, your save games from releases prior to release 39 may not load after release 39. In other words, we cannot guarantee the ability to load pre-R39 saves after release 39. Our sincerest apologies if this change causes any disruption in your gameplay. We always make every attempt to avoid having to make these kind of requirements to our players with changes like this. After very careful consideration, we've deemed that this change and the accompanying requirement is necessary. Please note that this change will not affect the online game or characters in any way. As a reminder, release 39 starts on February 23rd through March 29th. So it looks like the release, we're looking at release 40 next. That's coming up the week after next. Yeah, just looking at my little calendar there. So the week after next will be our next release coming up. So that's your deadline on that. And thanks again, Dark Star. So that's a little notice that we've got to mention each time just to make sure that everybody is backing up their characters there on their offline game. So that's for offline only mode. So obviously there's no backing up to be done on online because it's an automatic thing as you play. So a little different there. All right, so next up we have the community spotlight for Nightmare Falls Player Owned Town. So here's another great look at another player owned town. And this is Nightmare Falls. This week's Player Owned Town Spotlight has Community Manager Barrick exploring Nightmare Falls, located just south of Serpent Spine Foothills. It is a welcome rest for those who wish to hunt kobolds and other regional creatures. Barrick. Making my way to town, I heard a sharp whistle, followed by Mal. We've got company. A tall man in blue greeted me before I had taken more than a few steps. Welcome to the falls. Name's Vindarian. Vindarian, it turned out, was the steward of the main square. The town itself was broken off into three parts. You've got the main square here, Nightmare Estates up the hill over there by Damo. He pointed to the west. And the third part? The steward quickly glanced to the east, then back. That's Sorrow Hill. We don't talk about it much. We walked past the bank and into a large park, the centerpiece being an ancient stone ring. Yeah, Mal, that is, Governor Grey Knight likes to combine the old and new together. Remembering the past, and all that. While making our way to the governor's office, we were met by another person. "Greetings, Beric. I am Damoa. Would you like a tour of the town?" "Yes, please do. What can you tell me about Nightmare Falls?" "As you know, we are avatars and not from this world. Myself, Vindorian, and Sebastian found the ruins of an old town some time ago. The locals tended to be wary of it, and the creatures of this land stayed far away. It seemed like a decent sanctuary for others like us. We started here in the main square, slowly reclaiming what nature had taken back. Many ruins were found along our ways. However, the one place we couldn't get to was Sorrow Hill." Now keep in mind that this is the name natives gave the mountains to the east. We didn't know why at the time, because no one would talk about it, but we definitely found out later. As we began building, what we found was an old town. More people started showing up. Some of them were natives, and we learned quite a bit about the history of this place. The hills over to the west were once for the aristocrats of the society, but Sorrow Hill to the east... At that point, a gruff voice spoke up from behind. "Sorrow Hill once held an obsidian tower." The governor bowed his head. "Greetings, Beric. Thank you for visiting our little corner of Novia." I bade him to continue his story. "We spent several years fighting Sorrow Hill. At first, we hired locals to do the cleanup for us, but they only made it about halfway before refusing to go any further. So we took up axes and started clearing it ourselves. What we found up there was the ruins of an ancient city. The natives are quite unnerved about it, so we try not to tread there much. Let's not talk about that anymore, as I want to show you the rest of the town. The Broken Cord is a recent addition. It is our music shop, specializing in instruments and music from our world. We're hoping to eventually bring bards from all corners of Novia to compete in a series of planned seasonal competitions. Stepping past the music shop, I saw a beautiful garden. "What is this?" I asked. "This is Gabriel's garden. It was placed in honor of a sweet, troublesome imp of a boy named Gabriel, who has autism. You'll find poetry throughout the garden about him. It was made to be a quiet place of contemplation and a safe place, an area to help close off the extrasensory input of the world. With the agitation of the stewards nearing too close to Sorrow Hill, we reversed course to the other side of the lake. Nightmare Estates is for the finer things in life." So it's been said. It is a place for those who want to live around the fancier sections of town. Less crowded, more room to breathe, and a beautiful view. And of course, we have all the amenities of the main square available up here as well. Who are the residents of Nightmare Falls? We are a varied bunch. We try not to exclude any avatars. At the heart of this town are crafters, entrepreneurs, adventurers, and farmers. There are few that don't fit in here. All are welcome. What makes this town so unique? A lot of the towns we have visited are either exclusive or set aside for a certain type of folk. Towns claimed by guilds, towns claimed by miners, by this club or that. We say, find a plot of grass and build yourself a house. And really, we are happy to work with all our residents. You want your house moved a little to the left? No problem. That bare spot in the middle of nowhere? Sure. We have space, and with the exception of Sorrow Hill, there really are no restrictions. Well, don't write your name in fish. The governor hates that. What is the future of Nightmare Falls? Well, there is the mystery of Sorrow Hill. We would very much like to expand the music store, start some music-based competitions if we can ever figure out how to amplify the sound of the instruments, and have a few events across the fields and squares. We even have a new tavern opening, the Lost Souls Tavern. The owner is very much looking forward to starting his own brewery, which should be quite attractive for travelers, I suspect. There is so much more to explore in Nightmare Falls. If you are interested to become part of this community, to settle down and place a home on a lot somewhere, feel free to contact Sebastian Greyknight, Dema Obscura, or Vendarian Dynair with any questions. Do you have a town, guild, or other group we could spotlight? Message Barrick on the forums. So very good stuff. That very great description there of Nightmare Falls, and a very good lore going on with that city. It really makes you want to go in there and just take a look and see what is happening there. So very cool place to live, it sounds like to me. So good stuff. Plus, it's real near Serpentine Mines. That's one of those mines I like to go for iron, so that's nearby there. So it's a really good location. Good stuff there. All right, so next up on the agenda, we have the upcoming events. March 30th, 2017 is release 40. We were just talking about that. Release 40, that is about two weeks away, so that's good. April 6th through 10th of 2017 is an R40 free trial. So they're going to do another free trial. Looks like it's about a 4 or 5 day trial, so good stuff there. Hopefully they got some more updates on the new player experience going. We can hope anyway. And then April 11th, 2017, we have the R40 Postmortem. And then April 27th, 2017, we have Release 41. And May 25th, we have Release 42. And June 29th, we have Release 43. So we're still kind of stuck at June there. Trying to see what's going on next. All right, visit the official community calendar to see the great lineup of activities our amazing community has planned for this weekend. And be sure to check out this month's release events thread in the Soda forums for additional events. And the event of the week is the RPOTA monthly $155 writing contest. So this is another good event here. Mars Creation Contest. $155 in prizes awarded monthly at RPOTA.com. So the featured themes to bring law and order, the encoded note, and Norak Day. So those are the themes. Yeah, it's pretty deep. So the grand prize is $70 art commission from Indy Martin Art. So that's cool stuff. First prize is $50 add-on store credit. Second prize is $25 add-on store credit. And third prize is a $10 add-on store credit. So that's good stuff. Hear ye, biographers, historians, diplomats, journalists, story writers, quest designers, videographers, and musicians, RPOTA.com is in dire need of your amassing talents. Role Players of the Avatar is hosting a monthly contest to award those most famous with their quill, camera, piano, or lute. Simply have your creation submitted by midnight of the last day of every month to be eligible for that month's contest. See Elgarian for details. So yeah, there's also a post here if you click on a link in the updates page to get to that particular thread, or just find Elgarian and do a nice little PM. Good stuff there. Good stuff indeed. And good work Elgarian does each and every month for us here. And next up, we have community resources, players helping players, the official Soda New Players Welcome Forum, and the Player Created Resources Forum. Have the best player-created resources for Shroud of the Avatar, whether it's a player-written guide, a video walkthrough, or a wiki-type website. Visit the official community resource page for a complete listing of all things community. So again, on the updates page is a link for that. So you can see everything that's going on, because they don't run through the whole thing anymore in the updates, as we used to also, and there's a lot. I mean, there is a lot. It's literally, I think it's about half the news program that's running through those things. That's just how many events there are every single weekend, and during the week even. People are always busy in this game, keeping things exciting for us to go do. So no need to be bored, no excuse to be bored. If you're bored, you need to look at this update or this page here and find out what's going on, because there's always something going on. So good stuff. All right, moving on here, we have recommended projects to back. Unknown Realm, The Siege Perilous. So, Unknown Realm, The Siege Perilous is a new 8-bit fantasy role-playing game for PC and C64, inspired by the classic RPGs of the 80s. Oh, very cool. Why is it that anytime you ask an RPG fan what their favorite game is, they will almost inevitably name a game that was made 30 years ago. You know the games we're talking about. Games like Ultima, Legacy of the Ancients, Wasteland SSI Gold Box titles, or some other game from the golden age of RPGs. Despite the high-end graphics and advances of modern RPGs, they still somehow fail to live up to the enjoyment found in these fan favorites of the past. Let's face it, those low-fidelity RPGs had something special. They had the perfect mix of presentation and gameplay that allowed your imagination to run free. Sadly, for some reason, game companies decided to stop making single-player RPGs like this, and thus abandon a generation of RPG fans until now. We here at Stirring Dragon Games think it's a shame no one is willing to make classic RPGs like this anymore, and we're just crazy enough to do something about it. So there we are. And that's a serious teaser. Good job on that. So there's a link here. Unknown Realm, The Siege Perilous is obviously a little hat tip there to the original Ultima Online Siege Perilous shard, which was the PvP shard of Ultima Online, if you were not familiar with that. And I remember throwing a character on there at one time or another. And I'm trying to remember, it seems like back then you were only allowed one character on Siege Perilous. And it was a brutal place. A place for not the weak of heart or the faint of heart. Definitely very, very brutal. But the place for PvPers to have a serious fun time. So here we are, we're bringing it back to that kind of situation. Siege Perilous, I don't know, it sounds like it's an offline RPG though, so definitely worth a look. And I wish I had somebody here to ask, but what C64? Are they talking about the Commodore 64? I'm just curious, because I didn't know they still even had those around outside of finding some sort of antique. Because last time I used a Commodore 64 was back in 1987. And that dates me a little bit, but that was at my cousin's house, and that was a long time ago. That's when those things were kind of sort of big. So, just curious. maybe it's a console. I'm not familiar with consoles. Just don't hit me in the head here. I'm more of a PC guy, so I don't know a lot about console, if that's what it is. So, anyway, around it, that definitely sounds fun. We're taking a peek at the link to see what that's all about. Sounds great. We all like Gold Box and Ultima and all those things, right? Boy, there were some great games back in the 80s. That is for sure. All right, and the final message we have to give you here each week for the last couple of years, backer shipper addresses. In preparation for shipping backers' physical pledge rewards later this year, we have added shipping address fields to your account profile page. To enter your shipping address, log into the SOTA website, select account in the top right corner, then select edit profile located in the left corner beneath your avatar image. A reminder to be sure that support@portalarium.com is unblocked from your email account. So, as always, we talk about that every week. So, that is the news of the week. And actually, it seemed like it was a kind of a short news week, because I didn't even fill 40 minutes, but that's okay, you know. Less boredom for the folk there. That's just kind of running over the news and the updates page, and I hope everybody is having a lot of fun on the game. I definitely am. Just another thing I did last night. I was actually with the nephews, but they really wanted me to go do something exciting besides kill elves. So let's go fight the troll. Oh, great. And you know, I've already been through this. The troll has been horrendously strengthened, especially for someone like me. And of course, I went to the troll. I went to the one over in the ruins area there. And he's bad. He's really bad. He doesn't take much damage. I think I got 40 damage on him a couple of times. I think it was the extent of my damage, which is pretty pathetic. And pretty much I didn't hurt him, and he hurt me, and he killed me a bunch of times. But it was fun to watch the kids laugh. And that's the fun thing about this game, you know. You can just show people it, and they can get a thrill out of watching you not succeed and to fail. But a fun game and fun stuff. So try the troll again. See if you're able to succeed. I couldn't even get 100 hit points off of him. I didn't have any luck. Plus, he's really bad about snapping back. He's quick, too. You can finally get some damage in on him, and then he's gone. Because, of course, I got to back up. I can't sit there and hit him. I'm going to die. Because he does a lot of damage. He's got some swipe or something. It did like 300 damage, some ridiculous amount of damage. It just destroyed me. But anyway, fun stuff. Always something fun to explore on this game of ours. So let me take us out now so we get back into this game of ours. The awesome background music you're hearing for the podcast is by Stephen J. Goldman. The song is entitled Dark Planet. Also, thanks to Sir Style Teagle for the technical work on the newscast. Please support Avatars Radio. The radio needs your support to continue to make the magic of this program, podcast, music, and events possible. Please go to avatarsradio.com and click on the Patreon link. Thanks to Amber Rain for broadcasting the newscast on avatarsradio.com. This is Lord Baldrith with Echoes from the Caverns.